Welcome to the July 8th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, and the sermon is entitled, Boys and Girls to Men and Women, delivered today by Pastor Michael Fitzgerald.
We're going to take another step forward in our walk through, our journey through the book of Galatians, an epistle, a letter that Paul wrote to the church of Galatia. I do want you to remember this, that Galatia is a large province of land. Right now, Turkey sits in that area. So Paul was not really writing to one church. He was writing to a series, a number of churches throughout the province of Galatia and the cities of Galatia. Why did Paul write this letter? Let me start with that. Why did Paul write this letter? I've given you background many, many times, but basically there are three reasons that Paul wrote this letter. First one is this. All of these churches to whom he writes were founded by him. He would travel through as a missionary cities and areas of the province of Galatia, and he would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when Gentiles came to Jesus as Lord and Savior, he would take that band of brand new Christians in that area, that city, and he would form a church there. So these churches to whom he is writing are those who have come to Christ mostly under his own personal preaching and ministry. The second reason he writes this letter is because he loves these brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the third reason he writes this letter of Galatians is because these churches have been misled by false teachers. After Paul had gone on as a missionary from the area, false teachers called Judaizers moved into the congregations and did not teach them truth, had misled these young believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the churches were in trouble because they were not getting good teaching. And so Paul writes this letter wanting to get these churches of Galatia back on track in the gospel of the living Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to reestablish them in the principal doctrine that people are saved in one way and one way only. It is by the grace of God through our personal faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of all. Amen? That is the message that Paul preached. It is our message today. It will be the message of the church until the day Jesus comes. People are saved by the grace of God one way and one way only, and that is by faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and walked from the grave that we might have forgiveness and eternal life. Paul wants the churches circling that truth once again. They'd gotten away from it. Jesus alone went to the cross to atone for our sin, to pay the price for our wrongdoing before God. All of us sin. All of us fall short of the glory of God. Jesus paid the price on the cross. Praise God for that good news that we preach, that we stand on. Now today we're going to open chapter 4. So take your Bible, go to the New Testament, go to the book of Galatians, and we're going to open chapter 4 today, and we will be studying verses 1 through 7. Now, I'm going to give you a little warning. As you read these verses for the very first time, they may seem hard to understand. However, once you get a breakdown of the background of these verses and what happened in Paul's day and the culture of Paul's day, I believe the verses will become very clear to you. So let's look at these verses. Galatians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Hear these words. This is God's word. Amen? And we hear it together. Paul writes this then. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, so that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. May God add His blessing to the reading of this very precious portion of His Word. Now, Paul is making a comparison here. And it's a very simple comparison, and it's very easy really to understand. The comparison is between a little boy that's born into a family, and the family that Paul pictures here is probably a middle class to an upper class family. And the comparison is made of that little boy born into a family to what happens when a person comes into the family of God through Jesus Christ. So Paul is drawing a comparison between those two things. And I believe it's very interesting as we study it together. In Paul's day, he pictures this upper middle class family, and a baby is born into that particular family. Well, naturally, this little boy is the son of his father. When that little boy grows up, he's going to inherit all the property that belongs to his father. He will inherit the name and the property of his own father. But listen, according to the culture of Paul's day, when that little guy is a baby and just a child, this little boy is going to be under the control of other people. And Paul names some of those people. He says that as a child of a wealthy family, this little boy is going to have a guardian. A guardian was simply a slave who followed that little child around and made sure that he stayed safe and protected throughout his early years. I heard a comedian not too long ago saying, as soon as a baby learns to walk, he seeks death. That's almost true for my grandson. He's just looking for stairs to fall down. So the guardian watches that little boy. When the little boy gets close to the steps or close to the lake, that guardian pulls him away and keeps him safe. Then also, there is a governor for a wealthy family's baby. The governor takes care of the legal matters concerning this child. And then, of course, there are tutors and teachers along the way that teach that child math and the language and the basics of education. As that baby grows from boyhood toward manhood, he gets an education. So in a sense, then, what Paul is saying here is that as this little boy is born and as he grows through his childhood years, he's under the control of other people. In a sense, he is a servant to his guardian, to his governor, to his teachers. He's a servant to those people who surround him wanting the best for him. Now, look at verse 2. Galatians 4:2. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. So there's going to come a time when this little boy is going to cross the line to be grown up as a man. And the Father is going to say, you are now an adult. You have now grown into manhood. There's no longer a need for a guardian or a governor in your life because you can take care of your own affairs. You are an adult now. You stand on your own two feet. So in Paul's day, in Paul's culture, a baby was officially recognized as crossing the line from childhood to manhood. It takes place in one instant that the family, the father in particular, recognizes his son as going from a child to being a man. The Jews, the Greeks, the Romans all had family ceremonies to establish when a child came to be a man, was recognized as an adult. Now at that point, when a boy crossed over the line of childhood to manhood, it was then that he became the full heir of his father's estate. When that child becomes a man, he is then now in line to inherit everything that belongs to his father. So this process makes sense, doesn't it? Well, in the same way, Paul takes that growth from a child into a man, and he compares it to our relationship with Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. Look at verse 3, Galatians chapter 4. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. So Paul says here, every person before he or she comes to Jesus as Lord and Savior is a child. We're in bondage to, we're in service to things of the world, things that surround us, things that get our attention. And in that state of childhood, in that state of immaturity, we pridefully see our will as the most important thing in the world. The universe revolves around us and our will. We see the most important things in our life as gaining money and gaining popularity, establishing ourselves in this world. And we believe that the things of this world will bring us peace. will bring us happiness, will bring us fulfillment. In that state of childhood, before we come to Jesus, that's what we think about. We think about ourselves. We think about our will. We think selfishly about what we want, what we need, how we can attain what makes us happy. And in the end, we believe as a child that all of those things we attain are going to give us ultimately peace and happiness and total fulfillment. But in that immature and childlike mindset, we're truly lost. And if someone maintains that mindset and that walk in the world all of their life, they're going to come to the end of the road and they're going to find excruciating disappointment. Because in the end, all the good things of the world will not be fulfilling, will not bring total peace, and will not bring happiness. According to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, God sent His Son Jesus to this world that we might grow up, that we might be men and women of God, that we would grow to a maturity, and we will figure out by His instruction in our life what is truly important, what is truly fulfilling, what truly gives us peace, what truly establishes us to give our families what they need. But we will only find that fulfillment, and we will only find that peace through Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. So in the Roman and Jewish households, a ceremony was held to point out a little boy has grown up to be a man. He's fully going to inherit the property of his father. Now, Paul takes that picture from his culture, and he says this: in the household of God the Father, how does a boy become a man? In the household of God the Father, how does a girl become a woman? Every person has to cross over a line of maturity, and the line is from boy to man and girl to woman when that person says, Lord Jesus, I have been living in selfish pride. I have believed that my will is the most important thing of all. And I have been living in selfishness, only looking at myself. I've been running after things of the world thinking that they're going to make me happy, but Lord, I've come to realize that living on my own like this is not fulfilling. And the longer I live, the more I realize that true peace is elusive. I reach for it and I run for it and I grab for it, but it's always ahead of me. It's always out of my reach. I'm never truly, really at peace, Lord. Living on my will, I can't find satisfaction. Living on my will, I can't find peace. Living on my will alone, I can't find true happiness. Down deep, there's just something missing in me, Lord. And so, Lord, I lay down my selfish pride. I lay down at the foot of your cross my selfish will. And I will no longer live for myself, Lord. I will live for you. Because, Lord, I believe and I acknowledge before you that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, died on the old rugged cross that I might have forgiveness, that I might have life, that I might lay down my own selfish will and pick up your will for me. Because I believe that when I follow you, there are the footsteps to peace. And there are the footsteps to fulfillment. And there are the footsteps that give me satisfaction in this life and the promise of heaven afterward. So, Lord Jesus, I lay down my will and I pick up your will. I ask you to be my Savior. I want to love you. I want to walk with you. I want to worship you. I want to communicate with you. I want you to lead my every step. I want to belong to you. I recognize now, Lord, how much my Father loves me, that Jesus would come and take my place on the cross. So I don't want to belong to myself anymore, Lord. I want to belong to you. I want my will to be your will. And Paul says, in that moment, in that instant, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you cross over the line from being a boy to a man. And you cross over the line from being a girl to a woman, because you have picked up the will of God and you have come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And in that precise moment, you have been adopted into the family of the Father. And one day, everything that the Father has will belong to you and to me as His children. That's the promise that the Lord gives us. In that adoption, you will have full inheritance of everything that belongs to God the Father. You see, this is a change that God desires, not for a particular kind of people, not for a particular color of people, not a particular nationality of people, but for all people, for every person who lives and breathes on earth. This is a change that Jesus wants every person to come to. Jesus wants every person saved. And we're thankful for that good news that it is for everyone in this world. Now, the Jews and the Romans and the Greeks all had a ceremony that recognized when a boy became a man. What's our ceremony? Well, it's baptism. When Jesus Christ moves into the heart and cleanses us of sin, we ceremonially, we symbolically come to this baptistry, which we will in a couple weeks now, and show the world that Jesus has cleansed the inside, because we are showing it symbolically by cleansing the outside. A person is recognized in that moment as a child of God. But the moment a person receives Jesus as Savior, Paul says the Spirit of God moves into you. Look at verses 6 and 7 of Galatians 4. And because you're sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So the moment a person receives Christ as Lord and Savior, Paul says that the Spirit of God takes up residence in us. He lives in us. And the promise of God through His Son Jesus is that that Spirit, once He comes into us, will never, ever leave us. We believe that we are eternally secure in the salvation of Jesus Christ. When we are in His hand, there is nothing that will take us out of His grip. We are eternally secure in the grace of Jesus Christ. When we grow from boy to man, from girl to woman, He will never, ever, ever leave us. He will never vacate that spot in our hearts that He takes up as the Spirit of God living in us. And He begins leading our decisions, and He begins directing our steps, and He gives us the wisdom that we need to grow day by day. And Paul says that we cry out, Abba, Father. Well, the Aramaic language, Abba, was one of those first words that a child says. You can hear that, can't you? Abba, Abba, Abba. It means daddy. We cry out to our God in that personal term of Father, Daddy. I know you're hearing me every time I pray. You know, I love the name my grown children call me now. And that's the word Dad. And anytime I answer the phone, I love to hear those words. Hi, Dad. How's your day? And I appreciate it when my son and my daughter touch base with me most of the time daily. But years ago, my name was Daddy. And I loved that name. I heard that name so many times for so many years. That name, Daddy, is just ingrained in me and written on my heart. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, I was in a store somewhere, and a young family was going by, and the little girl said, Daddy! And I wheeled around like she was talking to me. And just for an instant, Carrie was a little girl again. Don't tell her I said so, but she turns 30 this year. It's been a long time since I've heard Carrie in that little girl voice call me Daddy. But you never forget it. It's ingrained on your heart. Well, listen, here is the greatest comfort and the greatest blessing of all of life. When you are a child of God, and in the early of the morning, or the middle of the day, or the middle of the night, when you cry out, Daddy, whether it's in prayer, or praise, or pain, He is always listening. He wants to hear you. His ear is always listening. He will always not only listen, but always respond to you and me and our prayers. Why? Because you're His son. Because you're His daughter. I remember the first time I held my children. One of the first thoughts that went through my mind is, a part of me is in this baby. Part of me lives in this child. And that's exactly what He's telling us in Galatians 4. His Spirit lives in us. God lives in us as sons and daughters. That's how much He loves us. He will always respond to us. And nobody can love you like He does. A part of Him, His Spirit, is in residence in your heart and mine. Well, let me end this sermon by asking you this. When a boy becomes a man and a girl becomes a woman, let's just say roughly 18 years old, does that mean that they have reached full maturity at that moment? I hear your voice of experience. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It takes years. It takes experiences of life to gain the wisdom and the growth that we pick up in maturity of adulthood. Listen, in the same way, when a person comes to Jesus as Lord and Savior, they're instantly saved, instantly promised heaven, instantly promised the fact that Jesus lives in that life and in that heart. It's an instantaneous gift of God that happens in us when we say yes to the Savior, but it takes time to grow in Christ. You're justified once, but you're sanctified for the rest of your life. It's a walk of growth, a walk of growing maturity in knowing Jesus in your life. And you gain maturity as you learn to walk in faith and in absolute trust. And I believe that we will grow for the rest of our life. We celebrate tomorrow Morris Thomas's 95th birthday, but he's still growing. And that's true for every one of us. We will grow throughout our life, no matter how long life might be. You know, I love how John the Baptist puts this. We see it in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 30. John's desire is really our desire when John says, Jesus must increase and I must decrease. Jesus must increase and I must decrease. Every day, more of Jesus and less of me. You know, really the Christian life is growing in proportion to allowing Jesus to rule and control and lead our lives so that every day we're growing to be more like Him and less like us. More like Him and less like me. More of His will and less of my will. And every day the scales should be tipping in our lives proportionately to allowing Him to be Lord more and more and more with every passing day and every passing year of our life. We never stop growing in maturity in Christ. Today, believers, my prayer is that your desire and my desire as well will be that we grow every day in Him. That every day we're a little bit more like Jesus than we were the day before. That every day we will communicate with Him, that we will share life with Him and allow Him to direct the steps of our lives. My prayer is that we will rededicate our lives today to be more like Him in every passing day. That you will follow your Father in love and in obedience. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey Him. My prayer, believers, is that we will grow in that way every single passing day. And today, I want you to remember this. If you're ever going to be like Him, you have to take the first step. And the first step is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. It begins by His Spirit moving into your heart and into your life and taking up residence in you. You can't be like Him if you don't have Him in you. You need to receive Him as your Savior. You need to trust Him as your Lord. So today, if you're listening here in this sanctuary, or maybe in a later moment somewhere on media or on radio, and you realize that you're still a little boy or a little girl, living by your own will, surrounded by the things of the world, and you know that you need to cross over to be a man or a woman of God. You need to leave that life of little boys and little girls, and we need to become a man or a woman of God. It all begins by saying, Lord Jesus, I believe what you did for me on the cross. I believe that you paid the price of my sin. You paid my punishment on the old rugged cross. And I want to belong to you. I want you to be my Lord, my Savior. I want you to live in me. I invite you today to live in my heart. I turn my life over to you. I turn my will over to you. I put all of my sin at the foot of your cross, and I ask you to forgive me. I want to live for you. I want to praise you. I want to walk for you. Today, if you've never done that, I can tell you with all honesty and all assurance, He is waiting for you this very moment to say yes to Him, to cross the line from boy to man, from girl to woman, and begin the walk with Him. Church home, whatever the need, this living Savior meets us and loves us this very moment. Let's pray. Our Father, our God, thank you that we come before you, Lord. I thank you for the men and women of God in this place, those who will listen to this sermon somewhere down the road. I pray, Father, that all of us will rededicate our lives to walking the footsteps of Jesus and growing in you every day, more of you and less of me. Pray that's our prayer. Maybe today, Lord, there's one person in this sanctuary or one person who will hear this sermon someday, and they realize that they've never crossed that line from boy to man or from girl to woman by receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. No matter where they are, no matter who we are, I assure that person you're waiting right now for them to say yes. Bless us in this moment of decision. Bless us in this moment that we approach the throne of God and say, life comes only by Jesus. And Lord, I believe it, and I want to live it in my Savior's name.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.